This morning, I'd like to look at the ordinance of baptism. And I have a few questions. Brother Leon said something about he likes to ask questions because it gets us to thinking. How many of you remember your baptism? Okay. How many of you remember the date of your baptism? A lot less hands. Many of the younger ones remember the date. How many of you remember who preached the message at your baptismal service? Okay. Getting a little more technical here, how many remember what the baptismal message was about? There are a few. Baptism, to all of us, I believe, is an important part of our life. And baptism, and I appreciate that some of these younger people here remember their baptismal date. But you know, as time goes on, and you get like me, unless it's written down, you don't retain that memory. And that's what happened to me. I don't remember the date. I know which year it was, and I know what month it was, but I don't remember the date. Is that the important thing? To remember the date. Not saying that the date isn't important, not saying that all these things that we talked about aren't important. But as we look at baptism, I think we need to remember that baptism is more important than just a date. And as I go through this message, I'm probably going to be raising some more questions. And I may say some things that you might question. But I want you to look at it realistically. I want you to look at it. I want you to look at it in a frame of mind outside of the Mennonite box. I want you to look at it from a standpoint of looking at God's Word to determine the meaning, the reality, and the involvement of baptism. I looked up the word baptize in the dictionary. The one that I have at home is the 2012 edition of the New International Webster's Dictionary. And I'm going to read the five definitions that that dictionary gave, and I want you to think about it in light of a biblical Christian baptism. Do these definitions portray what we think of as baptism? Number one, to immerse in water or pour water on, symbolizing purification and admission to a specific church. Number two, to christen or name at baptism. Number three, to purify or cleanse. Number four, to initiate. And number five, to administer baptism. Those are the definitions that the dictionary gave for baptize. Why do we baptize? What does it mean? Is it a rite or initiation into church membership? As we go through this message this morning, I'm not going to enter into trying to define the mode of baptism. We use pouring as a mode of baptism, and I'm satisfied with that. I am convinced that the mode of pouring for baptism fulfills the scriptural requirement of being baptized. Also, as we go through this message this morning, we need to understand that we are talking about a believer's baptism. We as a church do not believe in infant baptism, and rightly so, because the outline that is given for baptism, the meaning of baptism, and the reason for baptism, it needs to be somebody that is mature enough to understand and make the decision to be baptized on their own. It is not something that somebody else does just simply because it's the thing to do. We're talking about a believer's baptism this morning. I understand that there's many different questions, many different arguments, many different situations revolving around the ordinance of baptism. There are questions why we wait so long to baptize after somebody has become a Christian. It appears like in the New Testament they baptized almost immediately. That would be a discussion all in its own. There's questions as to what baptism actually does. And I'm not going to specifically get into that, although the points that I have here will answer some of those questions. But I do believe, brothers and sisters, this morning that baptism is a lot more than just a rite or a ceremony of initiation into church membership. And I fear sometimes, brothers and sisters, that, and I don't want you going home and saying that Brother Cliff is against having baptism and then that's the beginning of church membership. I don't want you to get that idea, but I'm afraid sometimes that we lose the true meaning of baptism, because our frame of reference is that when a person is baptized, they become a church member. Baptism is far more than an initiation into church membership. And we're going to be looking at those reasons as we go through this message. Number one, in answer to the question, why do we baptize? We are following a command given in God's word. It's that simple. We need to understand that baptism is a requirement given in God's word. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Very familiar verses here, but I'm going to read them and get our mind wrapped around what we're talking about here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. These words of Jesus to the disciples, we look at it as the Great Commission, and we say because of these words, we need to be missionaries. We need to be going out and teaching and preaching the Word of God. And that is true. Jesus says, go. And many times we revolve around that part of these verses. Go. Teach. Brothers and sisters, we may not forget that Jesus in this command also said, baptizing. I believe, and there are other scriptures, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Why does he link the two together, belief and baptism? I believe, brothers and sisters, this morning that baptism, and we're going to look into why, what baptism means in a little bit later here. But I believe that God has linked baptism with belief and a recognition of who He is, and a repentance and a salvation, has linked baptism to that for a reason. And therefore, he commanded it in the scripture that those that believe and are baptized, we cannot separate the two. I have met individuals who said, yes, I believe, but I don't see any reason to be baptized. Why? If you believe, that says you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, and it says that those that believe are going to obey. And if we are going to obey, we are going to obey the commands of Scripture, and we are going to obey when it says you're to be baptized. And I'm talking to a group of people here this morning that I don't believe question that at all. But you don't have to go very far outside of the conservative circles to find the train of thought and the teaching that baptism isn't really all that important. You need to believe. As common as baptism was in years gone by, and all churches, even today, all churches practice baptism. But I was surprised to find out in my studies that there are churches today who believe that Christianity an individual can be a Christian without being baptized. Now you say, okay, well, don't we believe that too? Yes, we do. But I would challenge you to ask any young person that is in the instruction class, and right now we only have one, but I would challenge you to ask any young person that is in instruction class whether they have a desire to be baptized or not. And I believe you would get a very emphatic and affirmative answer. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if an individual that becomes a Christian truly repents and receives salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ does not have a desire to be baptized, I question their understanding of the Word of God. Number two, identification with Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verses 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. A group of verses here that indicate the connection that a Christian has with Jesus Christ. It also indicates what Jesus Christ has done for the Christian. And in the midst of these verses, it says in verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ." What does that word "into" mean? It means identification. We are baptized into identification with Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. We are identifying as we are baptized, and that is the reason why every person that accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, every person that repents, every person that confesses that they are a sinner and they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is the reason why every person should desire baptism. Because we are identifying with the death of Jesus Christ that brought salvation into this world, and we are identifying with the resurrection, which gives us the power to live the new life that it talks about here. We are identifying with that. Yes, we believe that the life that is lived by the individual needs to be a testimony to that. But the public acknowledgement of kneeling down before the congregation and being baptized is an identification of our commitment to Jesus Christ. How many of you remember the questions that you answered at baptism? I know you probably wouldn't be able to quote them word for word, but I'm sure you know what was meant or what was said and what you committed to. And if you forget, as I did this morning, I asked the family, as we were driving to church this morning, I said, "Don't we make a vow or a commitment to be faithful to Jesus Christ for life?" Or I said, "Am I getting the baptismal vows and the marriage vows mixed up?" Can somebody help me out this morning? We weren't quite sure while we were driving to church. Can somebody help me out this morning? Is there a vow? Brother Liam, maybe you know.
Say the question.
Do we make a commitment to Jesus Christ, that one of the questions that we answer, doesn't it say something about making a commitment, being true and faithful to Jesus Christ for as long as we live? I'm thinking it does. I'm thinking it's worded that way. But when we identify with Jesus Christ and receive baptism as that identification, we, before God and before those who witness it, are identifying with Jesus Christ for life. We're making that commitment. I'm thankful this morning that these verses here in Romans 6 don't end with the fact that we are baptized into his death. But they go on to say that because we are baptized into his death, we identify with the resurrection power. Are you this morning? Am I, those of us who have been baptized? Are we still today, are we still this morning identifying with that resurrection power in our lives? Is that a part of who we are? Is that still a part of our lives? Brothers and sisters, you all can remember the determination that you had at your baptism, that you are going to be faithful to those vows and that you are going to live that life. Is that determination as strong today? Is that identification with Jesus Christ, your Savior, as strong today as it was when you were baptized? Are you living that life of identification? Are you allowing Jesus Christ to show forth in your life? Is baptism a one-day thing, or is it a continuation? Is identification with Jesus Christ a hit or miss type of thing in our life, or is it an everyday thing? This morning, brothers and sisters, we need to remember that when we were on our knees and we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we identified with him because of what he's done for us. And Jesus didn't just want to do that for one day or for a week or for a year or just every now and then in our lives, but he wants to do it all the time. And the resurrection power is there for us to live. It says there in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We died to that. We're living the new man life. And it's an everyday thing that needs to be done. For those of you who are taking notes, just write Colossians 2 verse 12 in there. And look at that sometime as how we identify with Christ. We need to remember, and this is where I believe that we are biblical in the fact of saying that when an individual is baptized, they become a member of a church. When we identify with Jesus Christ, another commandment that we have in the scripture is that we identify with his body. We're not an island. We don't live to ourselves. We don't live the Christian life by ourselves. Brothers and sisters, how many of the commandments of Jesus Christ could we uphold if we lived the Christian life individualistically? How many of the ordinances could we partake in if we didn't identify with the body? How many of the commands that were given to us by the apostles could we live out if we did not identify with the body? Baptism, although it is a lot more than a rite and an initiation to a church membership, baptism and church membership, identifying with the body, being accountable to the body, being a part of the body, is all inclusive in this whole thing of identifying with Jesus Christ. If we want to sit here this morning and say we are going to identify with Jesus Christ, but I can't identify with these people here. I can't identify with the body. I don't have to be a part of a church. I can be a Christian without being a part of the church. I don't have to go to church. I can read my Bible at home. Yes, you can. But my understanding of God's word is that you can't be obedient to the word of God in that frame of mind and in that practice. Identifying with Jesus Christ through baptism carries with it the responsibility of being willing to identify with the body of Jesus Christ as well. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits. That's not the verses I want. I must have written something wrong here. I'm sorry, it's verse 21. I'm going to continue reading. We need to get the thought there. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I see in this passage of scripture here two different things in relation to baptism. First of all, baptism does not cleanse. We need to get that into our minds, brothers and sisters, and I don't think there's anyone here that would question that the pouring on of water is what cleanses the individual. I don't believe anybody here believes that. We need to remember that it is only the blood of Jesus Christ that will cleanse an individual from sin. I once heard a minister say, when I was just a very young individual, I heard a minister say that baptism itself is not salvation. He said if that were the case, if baptism were salvation, He said, I would go out there and by force baptize people. And that is true. It says here, in parentheses, in verse 21, it says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Baptism doesn't wash us clean. The blood of Jesus Christ at the time of confession and repentance does that. But baptism, again going back to the prior point, baptism is an identification that we use to show to the world around us and to our brothers and sisters that we have accepted that provision. We have identified with that. Also in these verses, I find the reason why we don't continue to baptize. After a person is baptized, we don't every year or every so often on the anniversary of their baptism, we baptize them again. Verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Jesus suffered and died one time, and that was sufficient. We identify with the suffering and death of Jesus Christ through baptism, and we do it once. We are reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross over and over again through communion. But we don't re-identify with Jesus Christ through baptism over and over again because we made a commitment to serve Jesus Christ. We may have to renew those vows. We may have to confess that we have not been upholding those vows. When I taught this class in Bible school, the question came up about if somebody feels like they didn't quite understand baptism when they were baptized, shouldn't they be baptized again so they have a real baptismal experience? We discussed that for quite a while in class. There's many different thoughts came up. And I was running out of time in that class, just like I am this morning. And finally I told them, they were all young people. I finally told them, I said, you all aren't married yet. But I said, I can guarantee you that on your wedding day, you're not going to understand everything about marriage either. But you're not going to have to get married again and again and again every time you have a new understanding of what marriage is all about, because you are married. The same holds true in baptism. We make a strong, binding commitment to Jesus Christ. And we are held accountable to that commitment for life. We may fall back on it. We may not uphold our end of the vow. We may gain new understanding of what the Christian life means. There may be many different things that enter into our relationship with Jesus Christ, but we do not have to be baptized again. We can rest assured that God recognizes that baptism And if we confess that we have been unfaithful, God will accept that. There are individuals, there are churches that will baptize again. And when a person feels like they need it again, they'll baptize again. And brothers and sisters, we can have the assurance. We can have the conviction that baptism is for life. Right along with that, we need to have the understanding, we need to have the conviction, and we need to be assured of the fact that we are accountable to God for those vows that we made at baptism. We're not going to be excused of those vows. If we're not faithful to those vows and we don't repent, and when we come before the judgment seat of God, we're going to be held accountable for that. Point number five, Matthew chapter 3. Something we all know, but something that I think should be very, very dear to us, is the fact that in baptism, we follow the example of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and it lighted upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We look at baptism today as an identification with Jesus Christ. Why was Jesus Christ needing to be baptized? Was he not perfect? He didn't need repentance. He was the sacrifice. John asked the question, why are you coming to me? I need to be baptized by you. Jesus' words here says suffer or allow it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus here is saying that he is going to be the perfect example. He is going to be the one that we all can follow. We can pattern our lives after Jesus Christ. We can safely follow every step of the way that Jesus Christ did. And that goes from baptism to the cross. We can't die for our own sins. But Jesus Christ had to go to the cross for our sins. He had to surrender. He had to give his life. He had to give up. And we do too. And in baptism, remember, brothers and sisters, in baptism, we are identifying with the death of Jesus Christ. We are identifying with dying to ourselves. We are identifying to laying ourselves down. We are identifying to giving up all rights. We are identifying to dying to the old man. And we're identifying to the resurrection of a new life. We are following, by accepting baptism, we are following the example of Jesus Christ, not only in baptism, but in every aspect of our lives. We are letting Jesus Christ be our example to follow. Brothers and sisters, this morning, those of us who are baptized, are we living that baptism? Let's kneel together for prayer.